Welcome to Teaching Here and There, a new podcast that explores the possibilities and the challenges of hybrid teaching in higher education. My name is Dom Pates. I'm a senior educational technologist at City University of London, and I'm here with two colleagues, Mr. James Rutherford and Dr. Ivan Sikora. James, I'd like to introduce yourself.
Thank you, Dom. Yes. I'd like to say hello to anyone listening on this podcast, which is a brand new series, as Dom says, looking at hybrid teaching in higher education specifically. I'm also a senior educational technologist at City University in London, and I've been looking at the technology and the pedagogical implications of this approach for about a year, almost the lifetime of the coronavirus pandemic. So I'll talk more about what we're doing at City in a little bit, but pass you to Ivan.
Yes, gentlemen, thank you for your introductions. My name is Ivan Sikora, and I'm the only one who is not an education technologist in this podcast. I'm just a mere user of this beautiful approach of extending our professional expertise to our students and connecting them with the professionals, with the people who have something to say to the audience, not only in a local place, but also in their remote audience areas that are actually otherwise not reachable to them. Dominic.
Thanks, Ivan. Thanks, James. So this podcast is, this first one is our pilot episode. This is intended as our first one is an audio placeholder on the web. It's something to get us started. We'll be putting some more considered episodes up in due course, and more about that at the end. First of all, let us tell you a little bit about ourselves. Now, I'm going to point to one of you two gents first, and if you could tell us a little bit more about your background, your general background, what brought you into higher education, perhaps, and what's your interest in this topic? And I'm going to point back in Ivan's direction there.
Yeah, well, the story is very simple, and I would say probably reflects the way people start some things in their lives. It was just a pure coincidence and incident that invited me to go this direction. But before I go into the details, my background, I've been in aviation for 17 years until the moment I realized I'd love to change exciting world of aviation to the equally or even more exciting work of the higher education and research. Since then, for the last 10 years, I've been exploring actually how to transmit what I think is important and critical for aviation to be a successful industry, even in a challenging times like the current, to young people and people who are keen to get some knowledge about it. So about 27 years, and I'm really old, it seems, by this number of experience in aviation and teaching. A keen interest in technology since long time ago, with ownership of very early computers, with interest in how to harness the technology for the good cause, making life more efficient, more safe, more usable to the ultimate point of living the life. And that's from me. So James, I got to know you just maybe a month ago, but it seems that actually I know quite well. Why don't you share with the listeners something about yourselves?
Thank you, Ivan. Yes, my background is slightly different to yourself as an academic. I started off in radio as a student. I got a degree in radio production. I did then work in television. I then got a job in education, making videos and audio programs, and then became an audiovisual manager. Basically bolting data projectors onto ceilings and screens on walls. And then about 12 years ago, I had an epiphany of understanding more about learning spaces and the importance of the learning environment for students and academic staff. That journey's taken me along eventually to through a couple of universities to City, where I've been involved in educational technology, which is a much broader area, but brings in all of those elements that I've experienced before in terms of the technical side of things and then the pedagogical support. Along the way, I did a master's degree in learning spaces and learning environments, so that's given me a lot of insights and research experience too. But I think my interest in hybrid teaching is, it's became something that had to happen, essentially. We've looked at mobile devices, sharing wirelessly from laptops and devices to screens in the class. Interestingly, as we've pivoted to online from March in 2020, we started using Zoom and Microsoft Teams. And we're able to share in a very different way than we did before. We dabbled with Skype. We tried with active mobile learning, wireless connectivity, but things are very different now. We're all sharing in a very different way. But as soon as you start to have two modes of delivery, or some people say dual delivery, some people say multimodal, some people say concurrent teaching, hybrid is the normal terminology for this, where you've got students in class and students online through necessity, through geographical barriers, health barriers, and other areas of accessibility. We've just got to look at this as an approach, and the technology is part of it. The technology is actually quite complicated, but that has to be hidden from the user. So the user experience has to be as equal as possible. And largely, the main challenge is teaching and managing the engagement and interaction of students. So it's a massive, massive area. It's not going to go away as COVID hopefully fizzles out. I think a lot of people will be reaching for different ways of teaching and learning going forwards. And it's similar in the workplace, in industry, with hybrid working. This will run in parallel in education. There's not a huge difference, really. So I'll leave it there for the moment. There's obviously lots of strands to this conversation, but that's basically my introduction. And Ivan, hopefully that answers your question to me.
Did you want to come in on that one, Ivan, as well?
Yeah, thanks, James, for giving me a prompt. I just came out of a semester of very heavy teaching, and actually teaching online using probably something that resembles of the things that we are going to discuss in this podcast. And I can really support what you just said. People either have to go this way or they want to go this way, but one way or the other, us who are facilitating this and maybe using the technology itself, that we need to think about it, just not the face value, but we have to go beyond. And that is, I think, something we'd love to explore, open, invite in this podcast. Dominic.
Thank you both very much. So there's introductions that reach back quite far for both of you, and intertwined with the particular challenge that we're trying to wrestle with as well. Let me try and give my side of that too a little bit. So my first job after graduating was in higher education. I ended up working in a bookshop at a university for a couple of years. So strangely, and I did things like I worked on the student radio station there too, as you mentioned there, James. This is sort of way back in the 90s when I didn't have a computer. I had no idea what I wanted to do professionally, other than wanting to be a rock singer. but there was a few sort of things that happened along the way that made me realize that I needed to get a computer to basically get with the future, because that was the direction of travel everything was going in. I remember I went on a college exchange to the University of South Florida in about 94. And I went to see a talk by a guy called Timothy Leary on campus, who, for those of you with very long memories, he was one of the old hippie gurus to come out of California in the 60s. And he was giving a talk about cyberspace. Now, this was probably around about a year after Tim Berners-Lee had invented the World Wide Web. And I had no idea what he was talking about, but he was really deeply and profoundly enthusiastic about this future that awaited us. So I kind of always remember that and think, I had no idea what he was talking about then, but...
It was nothing to do with his... being an advocate of psychedelic drugs at all, was it, Dom?
Well, I mean, you could say there's a parallel with cyberspace and inner space, but so that was one sort of I mean, it's a little by the by, but that was one of the things that made me think, you know, this is clearly the way the future's going. I ended up in teaching almost by accident. My family had a teaching background. And I tried not to go into teaching, but when I couldn't get another job in something else, teaching was the job that I could get. It got me through the summer, etc. So I ended up sort of scraping together a bunch of rough teaching contracts here and there. Eventually, I ended up in Japan in the early 21st century. And it was in Tokyo where I got my first experience of teaching online at very short notice. I had somebody come into one of the staff at the English conversation school I worked at, who came in, and the company I worked for had this video call center system based in Osaka, where you could have students and teachers connected through this proprietary TV network. And it was basically online teaching before Skype. And I was the one teacher in the staff room that said, oh, go on then, I'll do it, because otherwise the student doesn't get a class. So I remembered that particular incident last year, when all of the rest of the people in the world who teach got pushed online at short notice. I remember that particular story because it's like, look, you know, I know what it's like. it's quite shocking, but once you've done it, it's always easier after that. So yeah, I ended up then as an IT trainer. I got a master's degree back at Sussex University in digital media. And then in 2014, I ended up joining City University as an educational technologist. So kind of the confluence of teaching and technology then, which was where I met Ivan and ultimately met James as well. And I think I'll probably save the EdTech story a little bit later because there's the backstory there. That's a little bit about the three of us. Before we wrap up this pilot episode, let's talk a little bit about what we want this podcast to be, what we want this series, this exploration, this audio event. What do we want this to be? And Eva and I are going to head over to you first on this one. You know, what we've settled on teaching here and there as a title for it. What does the podcast mean to you?
Well, thanks, Dom. As I said, not being in the field of education technology like two of you, I'd love to reach out to people who are just like me, people who are keen to put forward the knowledge and the experience of a specific industry, and to facilitate this transmission of knowledge in an effective and hopefully efficient way to the audience. And audience can be different thing. It can be a class. It can be really a part of a workforce. It can be the public who is interested in the topic itself. And now with the abundance, as you, James said, and you, Dominic, as well, of the tools and the way that we think that we know how to use them. I think this is a challenge currently, because you turn up and you turn on your Zoom or your Microsoft Teams, and then you think that you know how to go about it. And then if you remember, Dominic, that is exactly how we started in our exploration of a blended learning for to fly, when I turned up and said, let's facilitate my friend to talk to my class. And that's it. So
it'll be easy, right? You said?
Yeah. Of course, I have my Skype. I have a laptop. There is a chair in a classroom. We can pop the laptop on a chair and that's it. So yeah, I'd love to help people. I'd love to empower them to go and be brave, but at the same time, be cautious about how to go. Because if I learned anything in the last 10 years, teaching and trying to transmit my knowledge to my class, is that if you know the proper way and you touch the right buttons, as I say usually in students, then they learn better. And that is what I'd love for our listeners to grasp, to try, and to share with us, hopefully in the episodes that are coming after this one. James.
Thanks, Ivan. I think you're absolutely right. I think this podcast is an excellent opportunity to, as I think you said to me earlier, a bridge of connection between facilitators and hybrid technology starters, academics like yourself. You know, it probably doesn't matter which professional background, whether it's aviation or nursing or psychology or food policy. A few hints there are subjects of guests that we hopefully will have along to talk with us. But also, you're talking about brave attempts at teaching in a hybrid methodology. And I think that's really appropriate. We are making this up as we go along. Whoever you talk to, they haven't had the final solution that they've arrived at. And I think sharing best practice, sharing success stories and problems and issues along the way is the way forward. Not just in terms of the technology. It does require quite an intensive use of technology. And it's not necessarily been viewed as the way forward long term. I think it was used as a tactical short-term solution. But actually, it has opened up opportunities, particularly in terms of redesigning the curriculum, considering wider audiences. So we're being very inclusive in our approach. And as you've already experienced pre-pandemic, flying ahead with new technology, bringing in colleagues from the other side of the world if they're prepared to get up early in the morning or stay up late at night. So lots of opportunities for bringing guests in and working together as a real community of practice, I think. Dom, I think that's something you've thought about right from the outset of this.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the that's another reason for this as well. You mentioned community practice there. We've effectively formed our own discussion group, and we're sharing our discussions with anybody that wants to listen to them. Obviously, our discussions are exploratory as well. We're finding out about this thing as we go along. And I don't think we're necessarily saying that X is good or X is bad, but that this is a thing that exists now and that is going to happen whether anybody likes it or not. So let's learn about it, let's critique it, let's shape it, and let's invite people to invite others to contribute to that particular journey that we're undertaking, and to take those same actions on it as well.
Yes, and ideally, with the various people we invite to talk from different point of view is also the key one. Is that's the student? Let's hear from some students at some stage.
Yeah. So before I sort of say a little bit more about my thinking behind the podcast as well, I'm sure Ivan, you might have something you want to add too. James, do you want to say anything about our thinking about guests?
Yes, as I suggested earlier, that there are different areas of expertise of academic contacts that we have. We've already spoken to people as in the health sciences food policy, technology experts. I mean, we can talk to people who are involved in timetabling, because they are having to put a lot of things together. And as you start introducing hybrid, that changes the type of space that they're timetabling. And we need to also think about the type of spaces we're creating. Are they short-term? Are they long-term? And students as well, as I said, and I think Ivan may be able to help us with that. But also, I think that there's quite a variety, and certainly we've got people at City University, and I'm sure at University of West London and other institutions that would be very happy to talk to us. As anyone else picking up on this podcast, if they're interested, we'll talk about how you can get in touch. I think, Dom, that's something we're going to set up after this first pilot.
Well, Ivan, you had something else to add here as well.
Yeah. And picking back on what James said a few moments ago, I think even realizing that one of the avenues is not possible, like in any academic endeavor, it's a really a good result. So if we find, and if our discussions and maybe with the meeting with our guests, we realize there is something that we have to avoid to be more efficient or maybe to more proactive in terms of our approach, why not? This is something of a good academic outcome. And of course, always being aware of the time zone and the time when actually something is happening, because as we have had in the past, people waking up early in the morning or late in the afternoon or in the evening might not be as efficient as they are when they're actually in their prime time of the day.
Absolutely.
And you mentioned the academic side there, Ivan, as well. I think there is a part of this is a slightly academic endeavor for us as well. I mean, this is a research activity. This is a podcast as a research methodology.
Absolutely.
It's exploring the idea, is talking to others, and it's possibly it's gathering data. It's finding out about the question of, you know, to teach hybrid or not to teach hybrid, I suppose.
I mean, and obviously hybrid teaching has been going on since, maybe 15 years, certainly pre-pandemic, but obviously since the coronavirus and particularly lockdown in March 2020 for a lot of people, it's changed significantly the importance of looking at this as a long-term development rather than just a tactical short-term fix.
Right.
So, yeah.
So let me add a couple more comments about the aims of this podcast from my perspective before we start wrapping things up on this pilot episode as well. One of the other things that I'm kind of interested in, James will know only too well that I often drop the buzzword affordances in when we're talking about technology. I mean, what does a particular technology enable somebody to be able to do? And I've long felt that higher education broadly has not taken advantage of the affordances of the internet. And this has been one of the interesting opportunities when Ivan came to me and said, can you Skype my friend into our class? So, well, of course you can. Now, can you do it well? That's another story. But can you do it technically? Yeah, of course you can. And what that means is that you can take advantage of the fact that he's in New Zealand, whereas we're all in London. And that gives interesting directions and new purpose to higher education. When you make higher education function as a networked platform, rather than just as a campus-based experience, you bring very new things to higher education itself. And I don't want to suggest that, you know, hybrid teaching is a panacea or, you know, the answer to everything. But I think it's certainly something that gives us an opportunity to think more about higher education taking a more considered making a more considered use of networked computing than perhaps it typically does. Ivan.
Yeah, and I could not agree more with what you've said, actually. Coming from Mediterranean, coming from the islands, we usually had those small squares or open spaces where people would get together in the shade and talk about the things. And I think this is probably the original meaning of the word university itself, when actually people used to get together, united, and talk about different things. And I think in the current time and with the current technology, we might be refacilitating, rebuilding those small squares, virtual squares in a cyber world where people will do the same. So basically be creative, be inspired, and push things forward. Or avoid shortcuts or pitfalls.
Oh, there are plenty of them.
It's like, I like the historical roots there, though.
Absolutely. I mean, you could call this a can of worms, but hopefully through this series of podcasts, we'll be able to open that can and discard the worms and start looking at opportunities and be very honest about the challenges.
Melt the metal down and make something better.
Exactly. And I think with the variety of guests that we'll have discussing this over the series of podcasts, it will be a learning experience for all of us.
So let's start wrapping this episode up. James, would you like to tell us a little bit more about how often listeners can expect new episodes?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I think we're looking at bringing an episode out once a month, beginning of the month, depending on where the weekend falls. But we'll certainly be talking about that at the end of each series, end of each podcast of the series.
And how about people being able to get in touch with us? What are our plans on that
one? I think the best approach is to contact us through the podcast where possible. It is, I think, the platform we're going to use is Anchor FM. You can send us a message there, but I think we'll probably also integrate with Twitter, and more of that on our next podcast. This pilot episode is also going to be featured in a conference, two conferences at APT conference on the 1st of July, hosted by Imperial, UCL and LSE in London, and then the following week at the University of West London.
2nd of July for APT.
2nd of July, thank you.
That's cool.
We are live.
We are live indeed, unedited, unexpurgated. So yeah, that's listeners can leave us a message on anchor.fm, a voice message, and hopefully by the time the first episode for real comes around, we'll have got around to setting up an email address or a Twitter account that you can also get in touch with us as well. Ivan, do you have any final messages for our listeners before we call it a night?
Well, I have to say that I'm so excited in this particular moment, because we are sharing something that we lived through and we are still living with the audience that is going to make us more clever, for sure. And also they are going to make us apply whatever we have found is working for us, and also share hopefully with us whatever is working for them. So I'm really looking forward to be part of this and the next episode that is going to come early in August.
Thank you very much.
Me too.
James, any final messages?
Yeah, I'd like to say thank you for listening, and we look forward to seeing you join us on further episodes of this podcast series of teaching here and there.
I'd also like to thank you for listening too. And I think with the name of this, we should probably have some kind of sign off saying along the lines of see you here or there or something. But we can have a think about that before we go fully live. Okay, gentlemen, thank you very much for this. This has been an interesting start. And here's to a successful podcast series.
Thank you, Dom. Thank you, Ivan.
Thank you all.